This episode of Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Basketball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. The shot clock is down. Make your shot. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. New episode of Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast coming at you.
Handing on to Kane again. Lots of head fakes there trying to shake Thiemann. Threw one in front. Oh my, it rattled around and it kicked on back and it scored. We saw no light. We saw no signal. And we're not sure if they've set a signal of a goal yet, but they are celebrating at the other end of the ice. What chaos!
Every team, everywhere. The Hot Podcast Network.
What's going on, Blackhawks fans? Welcome to episode 41 of Hungry for Hawks Talk podcast. Whew, after six straight losses, it's not mathematically over because we've got five games left. We're 10 points out of the playoff position, but that would involve us winning the remaining five games left in a row and Dallas and Nashville losing all five games in a row as well. So not technically mathematically eliminated, but pretty much we're done. But you know what? I'm here for it. I'm here for it because that means we can focus on letting the kids play, which is the whole theme that we've been talking about the last couple weeks here. And hey, man, we got Mike Hardman with his first NHL goal last game against Carolina Hurricanes in that 6-3 loss. We got Mackenzie Entwistle with his first NHL assist on that same goal by Mike Hardman. Alex DeBrincat is still scoring goals. Patrick Kane is still getting points. Ian Mitchell is starting to get points, showing off his offensive flair as well with the more ice time that he's seeing, you know, with more of our veterans taking some time off from the lineup as well. So, you know, this is what we thought we were going to get all season, honestly. More kids playing, looking at what we have in the system. And, you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. the scores aren't reflecting that it's going particularly well, but at the same time, you're throwing AHL guys at NHL players, and these are NHL players who are at the top of the division. So, you know, the fact that, I'm not going to say they're holding their own, but they're able to score. Any type of experience for these kids is huge for their development. Like I've been saying this whole time, they'll be able to use this time that they've been in the NHL in the off season to really jump in and dive in into their off season workouts and what they need to do and everything like that to really prepare their bodies for playing at the NHL level. It's a lot faster game. It's more physical. And, you know, it's more skill guys. You know, young players have to learn not to be starstruck when they're on the ice. I mean, you see it not all the time, but you you can kind of imagine it. You know, you spend your entire life hoping to get to the NHL one day, to achieve your dream. You get there and wow, all of a sudden you're playing with Patrick fucking Kane. He's on your line. You're looking at him when you're in the faceoff dot. That's a lot to take in, not to mention the higher level of skill that you're playing against all of a sudden now too, against stronger men who, you know, are obviously bearing down on you. So lots to adjust to, and all these games of experience are just going to reinforce how much harder these guys have to work in the offseason to really bust their ass and make it into this lineup starting next season. So, you know, all this competition is good. It's good and healthy for the team. So I'm all for it, man. I'm happy to see what's going on within this Blackhawks organization. Now, I was going to try to get Dylan Terry to jump on here to talk more about what our defensive core is going to look like going into next season, but of course he's a hard worker, man. He's working lots this week, working two jobs, so we are unable to meet up. Our schedules are not aligning, so I'll just have to do it solo, and that's okay. We'll definitely get him on for the CL expansion draft, though. It'd be nice to get his thoughts on, you know, who should be taken and who shouldn't be, and you know, it's a fresh perspective, which is nice. But let's jump into this defense core here. I mean, guys who aren't going anywhere: Duncan Keats, Connor Murphy. I can't imagine us not protecting him in the Seattle expansion draft. And those two are really, I mean, I would say the only four sure guys who 100% aren't going anywhere. I'm sure they're going to want to protect Adam Boqvist as well. But, you know, the rest of the guys, you know, if I'm Stan Bowman, I'm kind of hoping that the Seattle Kraken can maybe take Calvin DeHaan off our hands, not because he's a bad player or a necessarily bad defender. This is just based purely on his cap hit. $4.55 million is a lot to be paying for a guy who hasn't really been able to stay in the lineup for a full 82-game season for the past 3-4 years. So that's not a knock on him. I mean, you know, injuries happen, and, you know, he obviously is coming back from some very significant injuries where he had surgery on both his shoulders. But that's the exact thing, is that, you know, he's costing a lot of money, and he's not necessarily playing in the lineup every single night. So a guy like that could help the Seattle Kraken. You know, he's got the veteran leadership, the defensive prowess that a young team like the Seattle Kraken, or an up-and-coming team like the Seattle Kraken, could want. And if it's not Calvin DeHaan that they take, I would hope that they maybe take Nikita Zadorov. We all know how we feel about Nikita Zadorov on this show. He is signed at $3.2 million. He's an RFA, arbitration eligible restricted free agent, which means that if he doesn't decide to accept whatever the Blackhawks are offering him at $3.2 million, well, he's guaranteed $3.2 million, essentially, is what that means, because he can go to arbitration and the arbitrator will decide will take both sides of the argument and decide a percentage increase on that $3.2 million. So a lot to pay for a guy who is inconsistent, to say the least, in his own end. You know, he obviously provides that physicality that the Blackhawks are sometimes missing on the blue line, but, you know, you can kind of find that elsewhere, I would say. You know, Wyatt Kalinick is coming up. He's a pretty big boy. Riley Stillman is signed for the next 3 years after this one, so I'm sure he's going to be stepping up and coming into the lineup with a more physical presence. So yeah, I mean, you look at this lineup next season. I'm thinking Duncan Keith, Connor Murphy as our top pairing. I'd like to see Ian Mitchell back. I'd like to see Boqvist back. Beaudin, I would love to see back as well. Riley Stillman, Wyatt Kalinick. Those guys are obviously, hopefully, going to be back as well. I don't know why I said obviously there. I mean, yeah, these guys are going to be back. There's really nobody else. You look at the non-roster defenseman, Anton Lindholm. He's a 26 already, not really a he's not a prospect anymore. A guy named Phillips, Isaac Phillips, never heard of him before. Alec Regula might get a chance. Chad Chris might get a chance. But yeah, I'm thinking our defense is going to be pretty similar heading into next season. Duncan Keith and Connor Murphy as a top pairing. I'm going to say Adam Boakvist and Wyatt Kalinick as that second pairing, and then Ian Mitchell and Riley Stillman as that third, with Nicholas Beaudin serving as the seventh defenseman. This is assuming that Calvin DeHaan gets selected in the Seattle expansion draft. And if he doesn't, then you get Beaudin and probably Ian Mitchell as the seventh and eighth defenseman, just based purely on the usage of Colleton's this year. I mean, on those two specific players, they didn't really get a chance to step in the lineup until, I mean, we were basically eliminated from the playoffs here. So, our defense corps is looking pretty good. There are definitely a few holes that need to be filled. But we've got up and comers that are going to be pushing for roster spots, and then our goalies. I mean, Malcolm Subban and Kevin Lankinen. Those two, I think, are going to be the consensus one and two goalies heading into next season. Kevin Lankinen is just going to improve over time. I mean, he's dropped off since near the beginning of the season when he had a .938 save percentage through, I think, like 30 or 40 odd games. But obviously, he hasn't played to this level of competition yet, and he's dealing with fatigue. I mean, obviously, this type of year is going to be huge for Kevin Lankinen's development, because he's going to know what he needs to do to condition his body so that he can play a full 82-game season. He's not going to play every game, but, you know, he'll understand more about what he needs to do in terms of conditioning to be able to play at a consistent basis every single night. So, you know, lots to look forward to for next season. And next time I think we'll try to get Dylan Terry on here so that we can talk more about the expansion draft. Now, I want to just step aside a little bit from the Blackhawks and talk about, man, like, what has happened in the last 24, 48 hours. What is going on with the New York Rangers? Breaking news just announced they have fired their president, John Davidson, and their general manager, Jeff Gorton. Chris Drury will remain with the organization and will have a prominent role. Sources say, according to Frank Saravelli, that John Davidson and Jeff Gorton scurried to distance themselves from the team statement that was issued on Tuesday night, telling other executives that they did not know it was in the works until after it was released. So, one, who the hell was the one who wrote and released that statement? And two, what the fuck? What is going on in New York? This is a big head scratcher. This could be in response to the fact that the Rangers were eliminated from playoff contention after losing to the Washington Capitals. I don't know. This seems weird because it sounds like it was in response to what they said about the Tom Wilson fine, lack of suspension, which, in my opinion, the punishment did not fit the crime. I think that it should have been a suspension, not a fine. And I'm going to say that whether it was Tom Wilson who lost his temper and started throwing punches like he did on the ice, or if it was some other random guy. But the fact of the matter is, it was Tom Wilson who did that. He's a repeat offender. He 100% should have been suspended, in my opinion. The fact that he got away with a fine is, in my opinion, again, a joke. We all know now that the New York Rangers basically called for George Parros' job by saying that they believe he is unfit to remain in his position as head of the Department of Player Safety. So, man, I don't know what happens now. Where do we go from here? Tom Wilson is getting off scot-free, other than $5K, which is chump change to him. And the New York Rangers have fired their president and general manager. I don't know what's going on there. It's a big head scratcher that's going on in New York. Definitely we'll have to keep an eye on this. Actually, tonight they're playing that rematch, the Capitals and the Rangers are. So that is going to be an exciting time to watch, I think. I mean, you're all going to know what happens when you're listening to this because it will have been in the past. So, yeah. What is going on? Oh, Drury is president and GM now, I guess, for the rest of the season. Man, crazy times going on in the NHL. I just wanted to point that out there. The thing with Tom Wilson, too, I mean, just, man, absolutely ridiculous. The guy just, I don't know. I had some private conversations with some of my fellow Hockey Podcast Network co-hosts, and it's interesting to hear everybody's perspective and opinions on everything too. And I don't think anybody is 100% right or 100% wrong, but the people who definitely got it wrong was the Department of Player Safety. Because I mean, I don't know, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but when you're out there on the ice and you knock the guy's lid off of his head, throw him onto the ice and proceed to mount him and throw punches to the body. I mean, first of all, this isn't the UFC. It's not MMA. You can't be doing that. But, you know, I understand that you lose your, you know, a lot of people are saying that Tom Wilson doesn't respect the game. And I think you can throw that out the window because obviously when you're in the middle of the game, you know, your emotions are going, and you can go crazy sometimes. And I understand that, you know, it's the heat of the moment and you do things in the heat of the moment, but something that should be universally, that was my dog, something that should be universally understood and respected, simply put, respected, is that if a guy's helmet is off and he's on the ice, you should stop. Like, no matter what you're doing, just stop. Because there are skates on the ice that are near this guy's head. He kept his gloves on, Tom Wilson did, which I guess kudos to him. But, you know, still, it's you can't be doing that. That's a very dangerous play. And the fact that the Department of Player Safety didn't suspend that behavior and only fined him for the hit to the head on Buchnevich, which was also incredibly dangerous because if he had hit in the wrong position, I mean, simply put, he could have broken the guy's neck. He obviously didn't. But the fact of the matter is that could have happened. That is something that could have happened. And that was done because Tom Wilson decided to go after the guy after the whistle. And I would be saying this whether it was Tom Wilson or somebody else, some no-name guy. I don't care who it was. The fact of the matter is it was Tom Wilson who lost his temper and did that. He ragdolled Panarin. He hit Buchnevich a couple times in the head when he was in a vulnerable and dangerous position. He should have been suspended. The Department of Player Safety was failed in their decision, in my opinion. So I agree with the Rangers for what they're saying, because the NHL does need to change the rules. You know, this inconsistency is crazy. They need to change the rules, because otherwise you're going to continue seeing this stuff from guys like Tom Wilson. You know, you're going to see players step up and do this kind of stuff when you're essentially forcing the players to, police their own games, because obviously the refs can't do it. The NHL is unwilling or doesn't want to. I don't know why they're unwilling to change the rules, or I don't know what is going on there. But for a Department of Player Safety, that was not a very safe play. It was post whistle too, so like it was even more out of line, because you know the whistles had gone, and you know even the broadcasters were saying that Tom Wilson was just mad because a penalty was called on him. So you know you can't just be throwing temper tantrums like that. But you know, that's just my opinion. I just wanted to get that off my chest. It's just something that I don't want to see that in the game, because like I'm not advocating for getting rid of hits and fights and everything. Like, that should stay, I think, because there is value to that. You know, you're adding momentum to your guys. Also, people who are saying that Panarin jumped on Tom Wilson's back, man, watch it again. He didn't jump on his back. He was trying to stick up for a teammate. He was trying to pull Tom Wilson off of the guy that he was pummeling on the ice. There wasn't anywhere else that he could have gone other than to try to, not strangle him, but reach for him from the back and try to pull him off. That's what Panarin was doing. And, you know, I'm not saying that he should be suspended because he injured Artemi Panarin. I'm saying he should be suspended because he was dangerous. He put his fellow players, ice hockey players, in danger, and that should be unacceptable. You cannot be going around throwing your fists and throwing a temper tantrum when you feel that a penalty should not have been called on you. And, you know, the fact, like, he did injure Panarin and he's out for the rest of the season, which is all but three games. So, you know, that isn't as big of a deal, but the issue is that he was a danger to the players on the ice and to the guys around him. And again, Panarin did not jump on Tom Wilson's back. Yes, he came in sticking up for a teammate. He did not come in looking to challenge Tom Wilson or, you know, fight him or anything like that. He was just trying to get him off of his teammate, who Tom Wilson was literally mounting and punching. And then he did the same with Panarin by knocking his lid off, throwing him to the ice, mounting him, and punching him. If you watch the video, it's all there. So, and this is all to say, like, I'm not saying I hate Tom Wilson either. I think he's a good player. Just in this instant, he just lost it, and he should be punished for it. So that's my two cents. I don't know if you guys care about that or if you agree or not, but if you do or don't, and you have strong feelings about it, feel free to reach out. I'm at Hawks Talk Pod. I would love to hear your opinions. I just want to hear everybody's perspective, because I think this is an interesting talking point for the game, because, you know, going forward, the game has changed so much, right? It's really focused on high speeds, and with those high speeds, you're getting a lot harder hits, so we don't need to be adding things like this to our game. But I'm going to leave it right there before I go off on another random tangent. I will catch you guys on Sunday. Until then, stay safe, wash your hands, and let's go Hawks.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.